Beware, contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on DO Plus, Daniel won a 29-year-old at the casino, and Adam had water on a burger.
Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Random Animal Noises. If you'd like to drive your pets crazy, just, you know, go to YouTube and, like, find some random animal noise videos and start playing them on your speakers and watch them go insane. Check them out at randomanimalnoises.com and don't forget to use the... Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Random Animal Noise Free State of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel.
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking.
I just said hello. Sheesh. Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great, going? Adam.
I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. We have not seen it. Now, you know, it's one of those things where people just kind of like in their heads, they construct... oh, my God. I got a cat pulling on cords here. People in their heads kind of construct this thing, right? They're like, oh, Daniel and Adam, they must talk to each other all the time. They like must... you know, whatever. It's like, I did not hear from you in this entire three-week hiatus. This entire three-week hiatus, the very first time I heard a peep from you was yesterday.
Well, to my defense, I'm not good at communicating with people. I have a friend who I used to consider, before you, she was kind of my de facto best friend, right? Mm-hmm. And I literally have not talked to her in at least a year. Wow. And all of a sudden the other day, she just texts me as if we had been talking like the day before and just makes some random comment, you know, just like as if we were in the middle of a conversation. This is how it goes with my friends and I, like, so, and I'm the same way. Like I've just, and you know, I should never be too busy to communicate with my close friends.
That's right, Adam, you shouldn't. But you are.
It is a failing of mine. It's a failing, but it's not you. What I'm trying to tell you is, Daniel, it's not you, it's me.
Here's the other thing, Adam. You know, you and I are going to be in Vegas a bit early this year because we've tried this before. We tried this before because what happens, and I'm not complaining, but what happens at the Pride 48 Expo event every year in Vegas is that you and I get trapped inside the broadcast suite where we basically run the audio for everyone. And we
literally.
And it's one of those things, either you're there or I'm there. It can't really be a case where one of us isn't. I mean, we have other people that help, and there are wonderful people that help and everything, but just the way things work out, it always ends up with one of us can't be there. So in order for you and I to do things together, like to go to dinner or to go, you know, have a lunch together or stuff like that, we basically have to schedule time where there's nothing happening. Or
yes,
we have to do it on a day that there is. So either we tried to get together after the Vegas event, but at that point we're just too pooped. So this year you and I, we're actually coming in on Sunday night. We're going to be there Sunday through you know, the following Tuesday. So from Sunday, and here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, this is the point of this story. I can get some really good hotel rates as a M Life Pearl member, right? I can get some really good hotel rates on some, you know, some of the nicer rooms in the MGM chain of hotels.
Now, what do you have to do to get that pearl? Is that like you have to give somebody a pearl necklace? Is that why they call that a pearl?
Yes,
discount or pearl level.
It is exactly what it is. So the pearl, which by the way is not the highest, when pearl is nowhere near the highest, right? So it goes sapphire, which is just any person off the street is a sapphire, and then pearl is the next step up. So I'm only one step up, and you see how good the rates are that I get there. The next rate after that, of course, is gold, and then platinum, and then noir is their newest one.
What do you have to do to get to that pearl level? Because I'm sapphire, and my deals are crap. As we discovered today. So how many, is that a certain amount of dollars that you need to have spent?
Yes, it is. It's a certain amount of points that you have to have in order to go to the next level. And those points are based on dollars that are either gambled or spent. So let's say that you spend, I don't know, thousands of dollars on a, you know, on a suite or something for 2 weeks or something like that. That would count towards your points, right? You could make it to Pearl just based off of that. Or if you, you know, if you gamble a reasonable amount of money out on the floor, then you're going to make it to Pearl. Pearl's not hard to make it to. It's just, it's kind of like one of those things that like you are a gambler. Gold is hard to make it to because I think gold is a significant step from Pearl.
Or if you like, if you offer to book rooms for all of your closest friends and put them on your card.
This year is the first time that I've ever thought of doing that. And all I'm just doing your room. It's just like, so I'm just basically, it's just your room. So it's not like all my friends.
That's true.
You know, the Pride 48 rate at Excalibur is quite good. It's only $4 off from my Pearl rate. So it's like, you should, you know, absolutely get the, use the Pride 48 rate at Excalibur and stay there. But the thing is that you and I spend so much time in the Excalibur, we don't want to be at the Excalibur Sunday through Thursday. So I figured this will be easy. I'll give Adam a choice.
It is.
I'll give Adam a choice. And oh dear God, we spent, ladies and gentlemen, we spent an hour before this show on a Skype call, or I mean on a Google Hangouts call here. Basically, just I had narrowed it down to two hotels. Look, Adam, you either choose New York, New York, or MGM Grand. Just choose one of these two hotels. And he said, well, I don't know. I think that we should have this one, but maybe not. I don't see a spa there. And
I've made a decision, Daniel. Would you like to know my decision live on this show?
I would, but first, Adam, it is 9:29 p.m. in the evening on a Sunday evening, and that, of course, can mean only one thing. We are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing chat room. Adam, who is joining us in the chat room this evening?
Oh, Jesus. We have not Jesus. Jesus is not joining us. But we have Auntie Vera Charles, Betsy O. Carmichael, George in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We have,
it's George in Atlanta.
Have Good Humor Gwen. And we have Mib, UKQZQD, and that's Minion, right. 51.
Yes, and the did you say the Good Humor Penguin?
And yes, I did. And Jimmy Bear was in the chat room, and he has left the building.
It's all about me was in the chat room, and they left. It's like, well, we're disappointing people here. It's like everyone already tells us, I wish you guys weren't on hiatus. Come back from hiatus. We miss you. And then we're on for what? 5 minutes, and they leave. They're just like, I forgot.
They got their fix really quick. They like heard your voice, and that's all.
It's kind of like smoking. It's like, oh, I really need a cigarette. Oh, this is disgusting. Why am I doing this? It's
why
kind of
did
like
I ever stuff. Do this?
All right, Adam,
why?
I'm now ready. Adam, I am now ready. It's live on Pride48.com to hear your decision as to what hotel you have chosen to stay at. Hold that thought, though. Hold that thought. Let's go right here to our celebrity death phone and see who's called.
Yo, it's Nico. Are you even still doing the dead people phone thing?
Yes.
Bert Shavitz, the Burt's Bees co-founder dude guy, is dead at 80.
Dead at 80.
I don't know how he died. Maybe a bee bit him or something.
A bee bit
him. Dead.
At 80, I would say he died of old age.
And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Maybe he died of lip balm poisoning or something. I like the self commentary at the end. It's a terrible call. See, Nico have that. Nico and I have that in common because I always say that every show is a train wreck after the fact. So, no, you know what? I know this is the weird thing about Burt's Bees. Oh, first of all, by the way, yes, absolutely. Congratulations, Nico. You were entered into the contest. The thing about Burt's Bees is there's this guy here in New Haven that I have talked with and met up with a few times at the bar, and he's a big marijuana advocate or whatever, and he has Burt's Bees lip balm that has THC in it. They put it on, the, you know, so it's like it
makes you a little high all the time.
I don't know. He offered some to me and I was just like, that doesn't really sound like something I would want to do. But it's just like, so anyway, I don't know. These people and their craziness. Anyway, Adam, I am now ready to know which of the two hotels. By the way, one of the choices was a 2-bedroom suite at the Mirage. That we could have stayed.
Yeah, but it was 16, a little rich for my blood.
1,600 square foot, 2-bedroom suite at the Mirage that we could have stayed in for $230 or $250 a night.
But you and I are staying for like 9 nights.
No. So this is just Sunday through. No. This is just Sunday.
No, but I'm saying when you
this
add
is just
up
four.
The whole
this
trip,
is 4 nights. No, so that's $1,000 for living in a 2-bedroom suite.
Yeah. Well, you're making it all like something now, but earlier you're like, yeah, that's fine. We don't have to do that one, right?
Well, yeah, because who am I going to, I'm not going to like, hey, little boy, want to come back to my 2-bedroom suite? Nobody cares about that.
But
I'm ready, Adam. I am ready. I'm waiting to hear your choice of hotel. You were to choose between the New York Casino and the MGM Grand Casino. Which have you chosen?
But before I do that...
Is it possible to fit a square peg into a round hole?
No, it is not.
Well, if that square peg is Whataburger's patty melt...
Oh, Jesus.
...and that round hole is your kisser, you betcha.
Dear.
Just a quick Whataburger update. We now have a building.
I was going to say.
I
think we went on a whole tirade about how we don't ask. We don't advertise. We don't ask people for anything. And here you are playing a fucking Whataburger commercial in the middle of our show.
No, it's my weekly Whataburger update, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. There is a building.
Well, and by weekly, you mean, well, we've been on hiatus for 3 weeks. Well, so it's like it's your semi-monthly update on the Whataburger.
So I'm thinking in a few weeks, I might actually eat a Whataburger live in studio. The air. But anyway,
will we be able to hear the soggy lettuce?
I don't get lettuce on my Whataburgers, but the onions and pickles will be crunchy. We'll be crunching. The decision that I have made.
Yes. Oh, Adam, I'm delighted. I want to hear. Tell us, please, which of the two hotels have you chosen?
We are going to do the MGM Grand Executive King Suite.
We are staying in, we're not going to stay in the same suite, but we will both have MGM Grand Executive King Suites at the MGM.
That serves
Grand.
Your purpose of having the monorail.
Yes, because monorail.
It's the same. It's similar in price to the other one that we were looking at.
Yes.
And they have a more spa that's more conducive to my liking.
OK, so the MGM, just to refresh my memory, because I don't have the website up. So the MGM Executive King Suite, was that the one that was, what, $80 a night?
Something like that. Yeah.
So $80 a night. All right, cool. And that's so we'll be staying there at the MGM Grand. Now, I believe that you, because, you know, you're very hoity-toity. You're wanting to stay in a luxury suite at the Luxor. You and Mittens are going to want to stay in the luxury suite at the Luxor during the actual event.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that is my current desire. I believe.
All right. Well, that'll be great.
So we were gone for a really long time.
We were gone for 3 weeks. Here's the thing.
Did
we
even tell people we were going to be gone?
Yes, we did. At the end, the last show we did was our live Pride 48 weekend show. And we said we'll be gone for the next 3 weeks because I was going to New York City Pride and you were going to go to Miami for July 4th and I was going to go to Boston for July 4th. And then this past weekend was the weekend that Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone came and visited and I was in New York City for the weekend. So I just in order to keep this show from being a 3 hour long show, I know too late. I was going to hold on a second. This is the other problem with going away for a long time is you get these things building up.
Yeah, hi guys. This is for the Celebrity Death Band. Chris Squire, bassist for the band Yes, Dead at 67. Hi.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, great. So, I'm sorry. He didn't say who it was.
He said...
he said... It's like, unless you want to write it down as like a...
Yeah, hi guys.
You want to write that down? You just write it down. It's like
we don't accept bassists.
No. Yeah, he wasn't the lead guitarist. Yeah.
Didn't he say bassist for some drum for some band?
It's from the band Yes.
I say no.
All right, great. Excellent. So what was I trying to say?
You didn't want it to be a 3 hour show.
All right, in order to keep this from being a 3 hour show, I'm not gonna talk about my weekend with Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone. Because you can just go over to the Big Fatty program and hear Wes talk about it. And that'll give me more content for the next time we record and I can talk about it there. And honestly, we ate a lot of food and we went to a lot of things. That's really it. I mean, it was just kind of if you follow me on Facebook, you kind of see the pictures of what we were doing. It was like whatever. I think the Pride weekend was much more fun, so we'll talk about that. And then I'm sure that your trip to July 4th to Miami, your trip down there was really well. However, before the time gets away from us too fast, I wanted to thank the little Aussie battler, Scotty, for providing us with this week's Previously on DI+.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. And I don't know if I said it or not, but Scott, the Sater 69, gave us our Previously on the live show in June. And due to time constraints, I may not have mentioned that. But thank you, Scott, Sater 69. If you would like to be on the beginning of our show, you just need to send us an audio file of you saying Previously on DI+. And that's all you have to do. And we will put you into the rotation. So
I think I want Sassy to do it.
Well, we can do that. We don't have to actually have Toppy Stone. We can just fake a sassy one. That's easy to do. Adam, tell me about your identity theft.
Okay. Well,
wait. Am I actually talking to Adam?
Yeah, maybe not.
Is there some way that I can confirm that you are indeed Adam? Is there, I'm looking at the wide shot here. I see no watermelons. I see no fruit in the background.
Oh, look at you making that joke.
I know.
There is grapefruit right here.
There is grapefruit, but it's in a cup.
I don't think you would ever want to do that sort of thing with grapefruit, though. It's very acidic fruit.
Yeah, it is.
I think you would. Well, this is a really short topic, but I just wanted to bring it up because do you remember way back on the LA trip?
Wow.
And I lost my driver's license.
I remember your LA trip. I don't remember you losing your driver's license.
Well, I mentioned it on the show. I lost the last day we were there after all the drama that happened in LA. Mm-hmm. I lost my driver's license on the beach at Venice Beach.
Right.
And somewhere in the sand, you know, whatever. Who knows? We walked up and down that damn beach, could not find the thing. Had to spend like 2 hours in the police station filing a police report.
Oh, so you're right. When you were talking about that story, I just had like images of like Baymax standing in the police station, like pulling the tape off the tape.
Right.
In my mind, that's what Mittens was doing while you were like doing it. He was just there quietly, like pulling tape off a dispenser and just like.
He wanted to be at the beach, and instead we were. Anyway, so, and then we go back to the beach, and then this wave comes up and like drenches Mark his phone. And it was a great day. It was a wonderful day.
It's a wonderful day. Anyway. As all magical days in LA are.
Yeah. So, a couple of months later, I got a call at work. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or not, but I got a call at work from some guy, saying he found my license. He needed my address to mail it back to. And I didn't think anything of it. You know, I gave him my address, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. You know, why did you, you know, and he said, well, I just had something. I just lost something recently. Karma.
It's your driver's license. It has your address on it.
Right. Well, I didn't think about that until after I hung up the phone. Right. So this guy he said his girlfriend did it, but looked me up on Facebook, found out that I worked at Walmart. Got whatever personal information is on the Facebook page, was able to call customer service at Walmart, give them my name and get through to me.
Yes.
And then ask me for my address. You know, I mean, right. So I don't know if he was really thorough and thought, well, this address could have changed. So I better call and make sure this is the correct address. I'm not sure. But after I got off the phone, I started thinking, that's strange. Why would someone call me and ask for my address when it's clearly right there on the driver's license?
It's on the fucking driver's license. Right. Exactly.
So I got really paranoid and like worried, like, I wonder if he was like trying to like use it to like do things, you know, like steal my identity or something.
But you can't steal someone's identity with an address.
Well, with a driver's license number, there are things you can do with the driver's license
number. True, but you don't need to call someone in and tip your hand off and get their address or whatever.
Well, anyway, so I was worried and so I was like, okay, I'll wait and see if it actually comes in the mail. Well, it's been a month or two since he called me.
Yes.
And it has never come in the mail. So then the other day, within like 2 days of each other, I got two packages in the mail that I didn't order that were charged to one of my cards, but I didn't order them. Now here's another strange thing. Why would someone order something using my card if they stole it and then send the item to me?
What were the items? Were the items like
the Disney Movie Club.
Oh.
And someone signed up for the Disney Movie Club using a fake email address that is not my email address, but giving them my credit card.
That, you know, that could have just been a podcast listener that was really drunk.
I don't know. How would they have my credit card number?
Well, everyone has that.
And then the other thing that I got was so weird, a Vistaprint stamp that had my name, like deposit to Adam Burns or like some straight, it's like a personalized stamp in my name, but I didn't order either one of these things, but they're charged to my credit card and I got them in the mail. I'm like, what the hell? Now, first of all, what kind of identity theft person is this?
That they're really, sending me really bad one.
But I mean, it's a mystery, Daniel, though, because I seriously don't know. I did not join the Disney movie club
that you recall.
And I rarely drink and I never get drunk. So, I mean, unless I have a split personality, I did not.
Maybe this phone call will answer it, Adam. Maybe. You don't know. Maybe this is the answer right here. Let's find out.
Hey guys, this is Mags with Celebrity Death Phone.
Yes.
Dick Van Patten, who was, I think he was more of a, no more for TV, but
yes, he was known for TV.
Starred in Eight Is Enough and The Love Boat, died at 86 today.
86.
Maybe it's just me or a lot of celebrities I didn't even know were still alive are now dying off.
Wow.
So I guess it's nice to know one way or the other. Bye.
You know what, Adam? Maybe this is the answer that you were looking for. By the way, congratulations, Mags. Yes, you're entered into the contest.
Good Humor Penguin, did you know Dick Van Patten? Because in the chat room, Good Humor Penguin is saying that he will miss him. And I was wondering if they have like frequent lunches or walks on the beach.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Maybe it was Dick Van Patten that stole your identity. And in his drugged up delusional state when he was on his deathbed there, he decided to sign up for the Disney Club. And now, what kind of things do you get in the Disney Club? And what kind of things do
Disney
you...
Disney movies. I got a container of like 5 Disney Blu-rays. And I called them and they're making me send them back to give me a refund.
Well, of course, yes.
So they sent me a label and I have to send them back. But no, I'm serious. Like, I know absolutely for sure that I did not order either of those things. They were both things that I couldn't have just accidentally clicked.
Right, but you've called your credit card company, I'm assumed, and had them send you a new card. And
yeah, I canceled it. Okay. Although that's never come in the mail either, so I've got to call them. Maybe it went to the fraud person.
There you go. There's the trick. They make a couple of purchases in order to trick you into canceling your card and getting a new one, right? And in the meantime, they've already filed a change of address with the post office. That's why you needed your address, right? And so your credit card gets it forwarded to this new address. And so now he's got your new credit card and now he's ready to run out there and purchase things and it'll be great.
Maybe. I told him don't use my, because they actually had my driver's license on file at my bank. And I said, do not use my driver's license number as a method to identify me. Right. And then I went the next day to the DMV and I had them issue me a brand new driver's license with a new number on it.
Now, have you gone I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do, I was playing with my mic stand. Did you go to like creditkarma.com or one of these places where you can look at your credit report and just to see if there's been other inquiries on your credit?
I did better than that, Daniel.
What did you do, Adam?
I am now a proud member of LifeLock. So
your life has been locked down, much like an active homosexual on PrEP. Your life is locked down with LifeLock.
Yeah, so they monitor my credit. They monitor my bank accounts. They monitor email, internet sites for usage of my name or my email address.
They're there. They're silently in the background, completely silently in the background, monitoring your credit, making sure that your life is locked down and secure. But it's like the symphony of an owl in flight. The silence that they fly behind you and check into your credit.
It is. It's kind of unnerving though at the beginning. Because when you first sign up, everything looks suspicious to them. So you're getting all these emails going, oh my God, there was a transfer in this bank account.
Did you really mean to buy that sex toy?
Right. Was this you on this gay porn site?
Did you really put a deposit on the real doll and the real life doll?
Exactly. So I don't know. I don't know if I should be concerned or not. I really don't, because it is the oddest set of events.
It is, Adam, but I want to point this out to you. I do want to point this out to you that as long as you're on top of this, as long as you're reporting and canceling your credit cards, you're not actually responsible. At the most, you're responsible for, I think by federal law, you're responsible for like $25 or $50 worth of fraud stuff and then everything.
Yeah, I know, but
so I think you're good. I think you're fine. You got LifeLock. You're there. They come with their own insurance policy so that if something does happen and your credit does get ruined, that they're
$2 million.
Yeah, they're going to cover you there. So I think you're good.
I can just convince them that it happened after I joined and not before.
Right.
If they don't listen to the show and hear I lost my driver's license months ago before I signed up for their account. But you know how those insurance people are.
I know. They're like, they're crazy.
Oh, are you on that podcast DI Plus? We heard.
We heard that you made fun of us, and we don't want to. All right, let's see what this is.
Oh wait, we got to try this again because I didn't leave my name. This is Brian L. in New Orleans.
Hi, Brian.
Today is a sad, sad day. Mm-mm. For today, we have lost a great man, Mr. Donald Featherstone, at the age of 79.
Wow.
Without whom, we would not have the pink plastic flamingo lawn ornament.
Oh.
We should all have a moment of silence.
Is that good enough? Oh, you ended it that way. Okay. I thought he was going to go. Thank you. Adam?
Yes? Sure. Why not?
All right, great.
It's the pink flamingo that I'm sure growing up in Florida, You have seen many a pink flamingo.
I have. My favorite thing about this was they were talking about it on Pod, as my co-pilot in Rodin was saying something like, well, they made a movie about it and everything is just very popular. I'm like, when, you know, I don't think you actually watch Pink Flamingo if you're going to talk about it being a wholesome family thing. I don't think you actually watch the movie Pink Flamingos with Divine. Anyway,
I make it a habit not to watch.
Wholesome is the furthest word from the description that I would possibly use.
I really don't want to see a drag queen eat dog poop. That's all I know.
What was I going to say? I don't remember what it was. Congratulations. Oh, Brian L. Speaking of dog poop, you know, Brian has a problem with his dog pooping where it sleeps.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that. How would I have known that?
You would have known that because you would have listened to the new hit podcast that I've been listening to called Call Conscience, where you call Conscience and ask advice and he tells it to you like it is. And
yeah,
you too can call Conscience and he will tell it to you like it is.
Did you just call me out on something?
I did. I thought you were there with me and like, you're clearly not.
Damn it.
Clearly not. Remember, this is the month.
I just want everyone to know I'm behind on all of my podcasts.
This is the month.
All of them.
This is like the one time of year where we have to ask Vera Charles. We hand Vera Charles like a ream of paper with things written on it. It's like, can you please record these things for us? This is like the one time of year that we need Vera to like us. And here you are just
I am subscribed.
It's not Vera's show. It's not Vera's show. It's the Call Conscience show where you call Conscience.
I guess I'm so behind I didn't realize there was a second show.
I'm sorry. Vera is calling Adam out in the chat room. Moving right along. All right, let's talk about you.
That's it.
You might have had your identity stolen, Adam, but I had my heart stolen.
Oh, really?
I was trying to do a segue kind of a thing.
Well, you got to have something to say about having your heart stolen.
By New York City. I love New York City. It stole my heart. It was like, screw the San Francisco, you know, left my heart. I love me some New York City. So I went into the New York City Pride event.
Uh-huh.
And now keep in mind.
Now, did they have room for you to stand around in your jock?
I did not.
New York City Pride.
I did not stand around in my jock. I bought a different outfit to wear to the New York City Pride, but I'll tell you about that in a moment. So I went into New York City on Saturday. The Pride Parade is on Sunday. So I had gone in on Friday afternoon. I checked into my hotel. And shortly after I checked into my hotel, I get an email from a friend of the show, David Buckingham. He's from a podcast you might have heard of a long time ago called The Occasional Fag. David,
yes.
Who lives in New York, he sent me an email. He said, I see on Facebook that you were in New York City today.
Hasn't he been to Pride 48 in Vegas?
No, he has not. He's like, I see that you were in New York City today. There's a dyke march happening at like 6th and 30th Street at like 5:30. And we will be there if you want to meet up with us. Well, that happened to be like right next to my hotel that I was staying at. So I was like, oh, sure, I'll be happy to meet you there. And as luck would have it, it started to rain. And so right when I was going to head out into the rain to the dyke march, I got a text saying, oh, it was really fast. It's over. So I didn't get to see the dyke march. Right. And now this story could have ended there, Adam. It could have ended there, but no, this is a magical Pride weekend. So then he calls me and he goes, you know what? Do you have any interest in going to an advanced screening of the new Larry Kramer documentary that will be on HBO this month? And I was just like, yes, that sounds like something I would like to do. He's like, well, a friend of mine did some of the footage in it. And so HBO sent him the, a pre-release of it, and he's showing it tonight at his place. And I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. I would be happy to do this. So I arranged to meet him. It's a place called the Bailey House, which is an HIV halfway house down at the end of Christopher Street. And so we went to their media room upstairs there to see the advanced screening of, I forget the name of it. I'm going to look this up here. It's the new Larry Kramer documentary that it's on HBO. It's already released. This was a week before it was released, but make sure you see it, by the way, if you have HBO. It's called In Love and Anger, which is a kind of a documentary about Larry Kramer in setting up the gay men's health crisis and then later setting up ACT UP and, the whole events of the AIDS crisis that happened that kind of like that Larry Kramer was so involved in his life. It really is a documentary about Larry Kramer's life, but a good majority of it is about the ACT UP years and gay men's health crisis and ACT UP years. And the coolest thing about this was, because I'm watching this in this, in this media room at the Bailey House there, is that a lot of the people in this room were original ACT UP members. I mean, these were people that were there. These are people that were actually there and participating in these things, like, oh my God, there I am, or oh, I remember that, and you know, blah, blah. So I got to actually talk to people that were actually original members of ACT UP, and like kind of, it was a really cool evening to get to talk with that kind of thing, to just kind of, you know, look in on this small little piece of our history. And just to know things like the next day, I'm going to jump ahead a second, but then, like the next day, one of the people I was talking to like pulled out his Truvada. He was taking Truvada because he's HIV positive. And he's like, hey, here, I'm going to take my Truvada. And, you know, he had the pills out on the table. And he's like, look, it's like two pills. And there you go. I'm done for the day. And it was like, it was covered in that film. It's like, we would not have Truvada today. We would not have these things had it not been for ACT UP, literally like pushing on the drug, you know, the FDA and on the drug companies to make these things available. And to speed up the human trials and stuff. Like, so ACT UP did an incredibly huge, you know, thing. They were such a big part of that period of time that we just kind of like overlook now, because it's easy to dismiss them as like this loudmouth activist group, but they really did get a lot of things done for us that needed to happen. And when I say for us, I mean for us, for an entire community, for like, you know, whether you're HIV positive or not. Anyway, it was fun. It was an amazing time. I really enjoyed that. And so after that, Vijay from the old VJNet podcast was also there. He went. He and I both went to the Eagle. So we handed out to the Eagle Saturday night before Pride. And that, Adam, you're like sitting there eating your grapefruit. I just waited until you shoveled a piece of it into your mouth there, and it was just like, yeah,
yes.
That was fun. Now the Eagle, the New York Eagle, the night before Pride.
I know I was quiet during that whole thing that you just said, but generally the only thing salient, and it's not even salient, the only things I have to add to your stories are little punchy things that I think might be funny, which probably aren't ever funny. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about kind of a serious topic, I don't want to like chime in at all because I have nothing to add.
Right.
I'm sure it was great, but I haven't. So I'm listening, you know.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So no, I went to the Eagle with Vijay that night. We got separated at some point in time. I don't know. I'm just saying it was a fun time. I may or may not have, randomly encountered many men. It doesn't matter. It's a blur.
Did you need Truvada after?
I didn't need Truvada after that. No, I do not play unsafely, but no, it was fun. It was a great evening at the Eagle. I had a blast. I think I left there at 3:30 in the morning. The sad thing was that the Eagle is not easy to get to via mass transit, by the way. It's like the closest subway station to that is a 28th Street statement, a 28th Street station up I think around 8th Street or something. And the Eagle itself is like between 10th and 11th. So, but it was raining. It was like kind of misty and raining. And I'm, by the way, the new outfit that I bought, a kilt. That's what I wore to the Eagle. I wore a kilt. I bought a new kilt.
Oh, I seem to remember a GroupMe conversation.
Yes, that's right.
With you putting... Yep. Photos of the different kilts,
yes,
that you were looking at. It is so funny. I have nothing against you personally, so you're gonna take this. only a gay geek would buy their kilt on Amazon.
Yeah.
I just see that as a very, like, you know, I'm going to use my Amazon Prime and I'm going to shop on, you know, I'm going to shop on Amazon for my kilt and my, you know,
I bought
my G-string that I wore to the underwear party on Amazon. But,
yes,
you know, I think most people would like go to some underwear shop or like go to some boutique, or something like that.
Let me tell you this, Adam. Let me tell you this. I buy everything on Amazon. I don't buy laundry detergent at the store. I buy it on Amazon. I don't buy toilet paper at the store. I buy it on Amazon. It's like everything that I could possibly remove from my life that I would have to, I hate shopping. So it's like any kind of like cleaning supply or like canned food.
You could probably get one of those Amazon buttons for your detergent.
I could. I absolutely
just hit
could.
The button.
But I get all of that stuff is all Amazon. It's like, it is all straight. Everything I buy is on Amazon. Cat food, cat litter. The only things I ever go to the grocery store are actual food, like actual like perishable, like steak and, you know, and lettuce and things like that. It's like everything, if I can buy it online, let me tell you, I buy it online.
In about another 10 years, you're going to be one of those old recluse guys who's like sitting in his apartment and just like ordering everything,
mm-hmm,
and with his cats.
That's right.
That's what, yeah, you'll cats. Get boxes delivered every day.
That's right. I pretty much already do. I know I drive my neighbors insane because it's just the number of boxes that show up every day. But yeah, everything I buy on Amazon. If I can buy it on Amazon, I can. I'll tell you why. Is because my main credit card that I use is an Amazon it's an Amazon Visa. It's a Chase Visa, but it's the Amazon one. So if I buy it on Amazon, I get 5% back.
Are you at the Pearl level with Amazon as
pretty
well?
Pretty close. I buy almost everything there, and I just pay that monthly bill. I would say I pretty much, you know, my monthly credit card bill is probably, you know, $2,100, and then that gets converted into Amazon points. So then I get $22-23 of Amazon points every, you know. No, it's like getting a $25 Amazon card every month, basically, is what it is. I put everything on my credit card. So it's like I just eat lunch every day and I pay my credit card off every month. So I just put my lunch and everything and gas and everything on my credit card and then I pay it off every month. And that way I get the interest in my bank account during the month and then I get the reward points on Amazon after that. So
Walmart is slowly starting to catch up with Amazon on some of this like free shipping or lower shipping and 1 hour delivery and getting into groceries in some markets. Mm-hmm. So for those of you, you know, just keep an eye out because Walmart. Yeah,
you know, it's funny, Adam. It's funny that you should mention Walmart because the next morning I went to the Pride Parade. So the next morning I met up. I wasn't done with my story, is what I'm trying to tell you. Next morning I met up with Lamont Cranston, friend of the show, Lamont Cranston. I met up with him. We went off to the Adventure Bears NYC Sunday brunch for Pride. And I met a bunch of really cool people that I have to thank Lamont so much for that. This is like, I moved up here and I don't know a lot of people up here, but it's like there was a fun group of people there at the Adventure Bears NYC group. I met a lot of them. I would have introduced Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone to some of them, but it was Bear Week in Provincetown and they all left town to go to that while he was in town. So they weren't even in New York,
but wouldn't you, if you knew Dr. Stone was coming to town?
No, because
you'd leave for Providence.
No. I just don't like the beach. I don't want to go to Providence. Sorry, it's Providence Town. Providence is Rhode Island. Providence Town is Massachusetts. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Cape Cod area. Anyway, here.
Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard's in Rhode Island.
Island.
Fire Island's in New York City. Keep up with it here, Adam. All right. So, by the way, Fire Island is where Joe Zubia is right now. Anyway, here's the thing. I had a great time with these people at lunch. And there was a guy, ended up sitting next to this guy at brunch. And I wish I could remember his name. He's a corporate recruiter for Bank of Tokyo. A really smart guy, a nice guy. I was sitting next to him. And here's the thing. If Vera Charles had a brother, it was this guy. He had the same mannerisms as Vera. He had the same, like, you know, he would use his hands to talk like Vera. He kind of had the same speech patterns as Vera. He kind of looked like Vera a little bit. And it's like, and it was just like, it was so weird because I talked to Vera, you know, a bit off and on. And it's like, so it's like, I'm here. I'm like, it's like, oh my God, you were like, is like, if my friend in California had a brother, you're like his brother. I mean, it's like, you guys are so similar in your, you know, in your mannerisms and stuff. Anyway, he was, that was fun. That was fun. Then we went to the parade.
I hate parades.
But we didn't really stay at the parade for very long. We stayed at the parade for like maybe 30 minutes. And here's the thing, Adam. We got to the parade maybe about 30 minutes after it started. And we were there for about 30 minutes. And you saw on Facebook, I took a picture of the Walmart float, which went by. So I took a picture of the Walmart float that went by and the HBO float that went by.
Oh, yeah,
And things like that. And then after about 30 minutes, the group that I was at, the Adventure Bear group, they're like, let's go get some drinks. So we all left and we went to this bar.
Before you segue into that bar, I just want to make a comment.
Can you hold that thought for just 1 second?
I can, as hold I that. Usually do.
Hold that. Oh, you know, I didn't know you were about to say something. I was going to interrupt myself. Yes, hello.
Hello, Dubious Intent. I know you guys are on hiatus, but this is David at Blue Jeans Guy calling in to make sure I get enough call-ins to, well, potentially, you know, win some money. But anyway, Michael Master, songwriter to Whitney Houston and Donna Summer, dead at 74. I miss seeing you guys in Vegas this year, but hopefully next year. Bye.
What say you, Adam?
Okay, fine.
Congratulations, David, that Blue Jeans guy. You are entered into the contest and everything. And by the way...
But David, you realize...
There may not be a Vegas next year.
No. I was saying, David, you realize you can't win unless you're
in Vegas. Oh, that's not true. That is not true.
That is the rule.
It is not. That has never been the rule.
Isn't it?
No, that has never been the rule. Nope, that has never been the rule.
I thought we limit it to people who are in
Vegas.
Nope,
we have not. We've been lucky every year the person that wins is there, but no, it is not the case.
What I was going to say is Walmart is very pro-gay.
Well, there you go.
And very supportive. We have diversity groups. We have partner benefits. Mm-hmm. Even before like gay marriage, even before the past couple of weeks where gay marriage was legal and all that, still they would give you partner benefits and all that stuff.
Nice. So anyway,
keep going.
So we left to go down to this bar, this Brass Monkey, and I hung out down there with a lot of people, you know, these guys for like probably...
Brass Monkey?
Yeah. Like for
the Funky Monkey.
Probably 4 hours. But this is a Sunday afternoon. I need to get back to Connecticut. So I left the Brass Monkey bar at like 5:30 in the afternoon to head back to Grand Central Station to take my train back to Connecticut. And here's the thing, Adam. Now, this brunch was at, you know, it was at noon or 11 a.m. or noon. And
noon?
We left there. And so the parade started at 1. I left the Brass Monkey at 5:30. The parade was still going on. I still had to cross, you know, the parade. I had to wait for the crossing for the parade. It was still going on.
Was it to the point where people are just like riding their bicycles that they've decorated?
No,
like, down
no, that's
the
insane.
You know?
That is the insane thing. Is like I'm here. It is 5 hours into this parade, and it's like the Chase Manhattan float that's going by. You know, and the Delta Airlines is like it's still big corporations. It's just like, you know, this whole new thing. You know, the whole, you know, legalizing gay marriage and everything, and the whole, you know, recent pro-gay corporate stance that has been taken. It's like this. This whole parade is just like, you know, it's lousy with corporations. I mean, it's just like literally every major corporation you can possibly think of, you know, has a float in the New York City Pride Parade. Like Chick-fil-A had a float there. They didn't. I'm just kidding. Chick-fil-A, Cracker Barrel was, no, they weren't. But, you know, it's just like every major thing that you can possibly think of was there. You know, it was like Google was marching and Delta Airlines and Chase and Walmart and HBO. And it was a huge, big thing. But I wanted to take a moment out of our little recap thing here.
Okay.
And I know that it has been hinted at on the State of the Station. It's been hinted at on Big Fatty's show. It's been hinted at even just moments ago. I think the Pride 48 Vegas event, just spitballing here, Adam. I don't think it's going to happen next year. I think we're gonna move to every 2 years or every 3 years kind of a thing, because I think we've hit a point where there's two groups that go and they're not in sync with each other. So it's like one group goes 1 year and one group goes the next year. You know what I'm saying? Like there's probably 150 people total, but we only get 75 of them any given year because it's like, I'm going to go next year. I'm going to skip this year. And I think if we just take a few years off, I think maybe we can get people back into sync. And it's unrealistic to expect people to go to the same place every single year. And it's just hard to do that event somewhere else. But I think at the same time, you know, maybe we don't have to. Maybe we can, you know, maybe we can tack on to some of these other events. Like maybe we could do maybe we could help out with the podcasting dinner at Gay Days or something like that and kind of make that into a mini Pride 48 event, right? Just a single evening dinner kind of event. Like, here, enjoy Gay Days, but we're going to do this just tiny little single event, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah. So we've talked about it. So first of all, we didn't envision. So I, on State of the Station, I said Pride 48 itself is not ever going away. We have loads of shows on our schedule, on our list. The schedule, you know, we keep adding people to the you know, the website schedule, the broadcasting schedule. Mm-hmm. The June event is always very successful.
Oh, yeah. You know, the June event will still happen every year. Yeah,
so all of that, I mean, Pride 48 itself, we're going to get bigger and better and stronger and all that from a live broadcasting website, you know, community sort of thing. And we haven't said 100% that we're not having it next year, but there's just there's kind of a feeling that, you know, a lot of people doing it every year is just too much for them. And so, like you said, we get a very small, we get a smaller number because people can't just.
No, I wouldn't even say it's a smaller number. I mean, if you look like I as a volunteer, as one of the, you know, volunteers of Pride 48, I'm privy to the roster of who's showing up and stuff like that. As of this morning, when we trued up our list with the Excalibur list, we're at about like 54, 56 people, which is exactly where we were last year. Last year, we had 77 people total. I'm sure we'll hit around that this year. So it's not like we're losing people every year. I think it's just a case of it's different people every year. And so it's like, yeah. I think maybe taking, you know, a year or two off and then, you know, letting people come back refreshed and renewed or whatever. It's kind of like a family reunion. Like, it's fun to go to a family reunion, but I don't know that I'd want to do it every year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's...
Thing is that we're not going anywhere. We just may take a year off for that.
But this is always, I mean, granted, this has always been the problem with Pride 48 as a concept, right? Pride 48 means so many different things. Like when we say we're not going to do Pride 48, we don't mean we're not going to do the June event or the website or the day-to-day streaming stuff. We're just talking about the Vegas Expo, which is why I was fighting so hard to try to get us to call it something else so that we could like say, like, it's so difficult to explain to people what Pride 48 is, right? It's like Pride 48, well, it's a website and it's like a live streaming server and it's like a community and we do a yearly June event. Oh, and we do a Vegas event. And it's like, and these things are all called Pride 48 and it's very confusing as to which one we're talking about and whatnot.
I do want to say that no final decisions have been made, but it's just, it's tilting that way at the moment. So, you know, so not to guilt anyone into coming this year or make you, you know, but hey, if you wanted to see everybody, but you know what, if we don't do it, if we end up not doing it next year, we could, you know, like tag on to Gay Days and everybody, like all the, we could just say, hey, everybody go to Gay Days.
I mean, and or, I know,
so
no,
we could have a meetup.
I know no final decisions have been made, but then at the same time, I know that you and I are kind of like the main technical pieces of this stuff. So it's kind of like, I can almost go out on a limb and say, you know, the thing that holds us, I know people say this all the time, and I don't want to turn this into a state of the station because I'm like taking a back seat this year, but it's like, you know, I like just now, Good Humor Penguin said, oh, let's do it in a different city. And I was like, and it's like, logistically, you just can't do it in another city. It's just, it's, New York City is an amazing place. LA is an amazing place. Atlanta is an amazing place. But you can't put people in a hotel in Atlanta or New York City or LA and then say, okay, well, we're going to do this at 2 o'clock and then you have a couple of hours and then we're going to do something else. Because to do something else, like to go see a play or to go to a restaurant in Brooklyn or something like that, is going to be an hour away and then an hour back. It's like the thing about Vegas, which is so nice, is that it's like if you wanted to go do something else, you're on the strip. It's very easy to get to things to do really quickly and to get back in time. And you just can't do that. The only other places that are set up for that kind of thing are like Disney, basically, like, you know, Gay Days at Disney, either Florida or California. Both of them are kind of the same. There's things to do right there, like right around that you can go and zip and do and then come back. It's like, you know, as amazing as a city as Atlanta is, you know, you can't do that. You just can't, you know, do that kind of thing. Anyway, I didn't want to turn this thing. I just wanted to mention out there that if you're holding off thinking that you're going to do it next year, there may not be a next year, but that's not the important part. I just want to assure you that it will happen again. It's not like, you know, it's not like if you miss this year, you've missed it, whatever. We will do it again. I just don't know that we're going to continue this as a yearly event is all I wanted to say.
Right. And again, you know, Pride 48 is not, it's like you said, there are multiple things and we're still, regardless of how often we do the expo or the meetup, you know, will still be.
You're not
the
being punished. Good Humor Penguin says we're all being punished. You're not being punished.
It's not. It's anyway. So moving right along.
You sniffed in the air. You sniffed a sense of like some kind of contention or like something that was like going to happen. Like the Adam Burns Spidey sense was going off there or whatever. You're just like, oh, I have to change the subject before like somebody says something that I disagree with. All right, let's go to this seat.
Of course not.
Hey, Dubious Intent Plus. This is Joe in Dallas calling to say that Omar Sharif died today at, I believe, 89. Omar Sharif. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Like, didn't Omar Sharif die like years ago?
I don't think so. I did Google most of these names today because I couldn't understand what people were saying for whatever reason. And I think Omar Sharif did die.
There it is. July 10th, 2015. Who was it? Who was the guy? Vera will know this. Who was the guy that had the anti-snow? Oh, that was Yul Brynner. Okay.
And you know what?
What?
I seem to think that I'm so ignorant.
By the way, Joe in Dallas.
To be in as good of a job as I am and, you know, all that kind of stuff, there are some things that I'm, a lot of things that I'm absolutely ignorant about.
Yes.
And I seem to recall hearing like the name Omar Sharif on news and stuff like that and thinking it was like some terrorist or like some world leader over in.
That's because,
you know,
he played Lawrence of Arabia. So
Is there not a, like a terrorist or something also with the name Omar Sharif or something similar to that?
You know what, Adam? I'm so trying not to laugh right now. If you say it fast enough, I'm sure there's something maybe that sounds similar in some way.
I'm really not ignorant, but I know I sound ignorant a lot. If the listeners were to vote, they probably would say I'm ignorant. I'm really not, though. But I'm just being open and honest.
Adam, I adore that about you. I adore that you're open and honest.
I've heard the name before and thought, oh, is he like a associate of Osama bin Laden? Or
yeah, he is. He's pretty much.
Or,
is. Yeah.
You know, what's the other guy's
Remember
name?
Kid, yeah, Omar Sharif.
The what's the guy who died recently? Or
you know what? I can solve this, Adam. Let's see. Can I do this? Can I? I don't know if I can actually. No, I can't do this. Ah, crap. I was going to call Big Fatty and ask him, but we're on a Hangouts on air and we can't add phone numbers into this thing. I'd have to do.
So I'm gonna quickly just go over Miami quickly. All right, you ready? I can do this in like 5 minutes.
Go.
I promise. As soon as I start, the phone's gonna ring. I know. And I'm not gonna be able to do it in 5 minutes because the phone call is gonna take a minute of my time. But so Mark and I decided to go to Miami for 4th of July weekend, and we wanted to do two different beaches. So we went to we stayed in South Beach, and we stayed in a resort there. Now, we're always looking for really good deals. So we look around, you know, for different hotels that they have to have a spa, of course. But we picked a hotel on South Beach, kind of in the middle. So I don't know if you could really call it South Beach, but we're literally staying in Miami Beach, and we're near South Beach. Really nice spa, everything like that. But we get there and pull up to the hotel. We pull up to the hotel and I roll down the window to talk to the valet guy. And he says, this is our first experience for this hotel. And he says, our parking is full. So, for valet, you're going to need to go to this other hotel, and then we're going to shuttle you back and forth.
Wait. I'm sorry. I tried so hard to let you tell the story without me interrupting it and everything like that.
Yeah.
Why were you valet parking at a hotel?
Because they don't have self parking. They don't have self parking. There is no self parking lot at this hotel.
Okay.
So anyway. There was no, as far as I knew, there was no parking available. Like across the street from the hotel is water, and behind the hotel is water.
Did you see Gloria Estefan while you were there?
No, I didn't. Okay. She was probably out of town. Anyway, so that was the first thing. The second thing was this hotel was going through construction. This is why we got a good rate.
Ooh. You know what? I'll tell you this right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you this right now. If you want to make some money, you figure out how to come up with a cell phone app that lets you A, check whether a hotel has good Wi-Fi or not. I mean, a good internet connection or not. And B, whether or not that hotel is currently under some kind of major renovation that you should avoid at all costs. Because I do that all the time. I get to a hotel, it's a good rate. I get in there and it's like they have no fucking internet jack. It's just like all their shitty Wi-Fi and whatever.
It was like,
how am I supposed to watch porn in my hotel room on a fucking shitty Wi-Fi that doesn't work?
Now, there were some good things. And so the other bad
thing. I'll tell you how, ladies and gentlemen, it's the porn stick. I take with me a USB drive that has, like, it's a 64 gig USB drive, but it has, you know, it's just loaded with porn. All my favorite porn on my USB porn drive. If you're in Vegas this year, I'll happily sell you a copy of this porn drive for the low, low price of $15.55, because it's the five. See, it's like five, like an open hand, like you're masturbating. It's an open hand. $15.55. I will sell you the a copy of my 64 gig porn drive.
Right. So the other thing was, so their main pool, like the
also,
big
also,
huge pool,
also shop on Amazon.
That's in the photos.
Yes.
Was all jackhammered up. Ugh. Like the main pool. Now they had two smaller pools.
Yeah, were they working on the ocean too? Like was the entire like ocean, yes, under construction? Ocean. It was just like
the entire ocean. So, and the other thing, I don't know what was wrong with their elevators, but literally
what floor were you on?
We were on the 7th floor.
Okay.
But literally,
because you know, if you take the elevator to the 2nd floor, I judge you.
I timed it in my head. No, I do too, but I timed it. We waited multiple times.
Like I'm late.
Elevators.
I'm like 5 minutes late getting to work, and I need to clock in. And I'm on the 4th floor, and I get into the elevator, and some asshole like pushes number 2, and I'm like, really, really? You couldn't take one fucking set of stairs? You couldn't just walk up one fucking flight of stairs? Really? You're gonna make me late because you can't walk up a single flight of stairs?
15 minutes.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. 15 minutes for what?
15 minutes. We waited for the elevator.
Oh my god.
On average, it was a 8 to 10 minute wait to get on the elevator. Constantly having broken elevators. Only a couple were working because of the construction. Like, it was horrible. And I finally decided I'm going up and down the stairs. So I kept going up and down to the seventh floor. The first time I got lost because you literally had to like get off on one floor, like go into the back into the hallway and go on another door to get to some other set of stairs to actually, I got lost in the stairwell. Anyway.
Wait.
What?
You got lost in the stairwell?
The first time I tried to use the stairs without asking anyone how to do it. And it doesn't just go down all seven floors. At a certain floor, you had to go back into the hallway of that floor, go into another stairway door, and go down those stairs to actually get to the lobby. I was going to, like, these secret, like, you know, maid's quarters, sort of. Like, I couldn't figure out where it was going. Anyway, so the room was really nice, though. It had a really big tub with jets and a really nice rain shower, and the view was of the ocean. We had a you know, beach view. I mean, we could see the pool that was under construction, but past that, you know, we saw the ocean. The bad thing was the hotel that we were thinking about getting that was right next to ours was like a Las Vegas resort. They had no construction. They had right. Every restaurant imaginable.
Oh my God, Adam, this is exactly what happened to me.
They had all these restaurants. They had a bakery with all this fancy shit in it. They had all this stuff right next door. But we had this non-refundable thing. We had to, anyway. So
this is exactly what happened to me on my parents' 50th anniversary. We like took them on a small 3-day cruise to like as a way to like throw them off the scent that we were throwing them this big surprise party. So we were on like the USS Rust Bucket out of Daytona or whatever.
Right.
And every single port we were at, we were parked directly next to the Disney Magic. So it's like, here we are on the SS Rust Bucket. And like literally parked right across from us is a Disney. And every port that it would get in, there would be like this fleet of like people in matching jumpsuits that would start washing the ship from stem to stern and everything. And when it fucking right. leaves port, it's like, it's like fuck you, Disney Magic. Anyway, go ahead.
And you know, I will say this one thing. I think the main reason we didn't pick that other hotel was me, because I said it didn't have as nice a spa as the hotel that we...
on this very show, chose the MGM Grand over but New York, because of the spa.
We've been to the MGM Grand, and I'm going to tell you, I've been in one of the New York rooms a few years back.
Yeah.
Didn't stay there, but I was in the room for various reasons.
Yeah.
And I wasn't too impressed with the room. It wasn't the same room as we were looking at, but...
You know, Baron Frosty, I think, is staying at the New York this year. Let's find out who this is. Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi, guys. Atty Cruz at the Celebrity Death Phone. Mm-hmm. Hopefully no one else is ringing because, you know, hiatus. But anyway, Patrick McNee, star of the TV series Avengers, dead at 93. Bye.
Patrick McNee, star of the Avengers, starring Joanna Lumley. Are you into yes or no?
Sure.
All right, great. Congratulations, RT Cruiser. You are entered into the contest. You know, RT Cruiser will be in Vegas this year.
Yes. I'm excited to see him.
I'm sure he's happy that we will be doing it once every other year because it costs a buttload to fly from
Australia.
If
you guys think it's expensive for you, his flight costs as much as your entire like stay, including food and everything. So that was it. But, you know, our room was nice and there were some nice things. There were just some really not nice things about it as well. So we did the beach. That was fun. You know, all that yada yada. We drove to Key West on Sunday and went snorkeling.
How long did that take you? Because
it's about a 3.5 hour drive.
When I lived down there, it was like if they just would have moved the fuck out of your way, you could have gotten there in an hour and a half. But because it's those 2-lane roads and there's always someone who's driving 30 miles an hour.
Well, it wasn't that bad. We went Sunday morning. So I think most people who go for a weekend probably go on Friday or Saturday and come back Sunday or Monday.
Yes.
So going down there, we didn't have very much traffic at all. But a lot of those roads, the speed limit is 45 or 50.
Yes, it is.
So, and we went through it seemed like 500 keys.
You went snorkeling.
I'm not even kidding.
No, I know. There's like
key to drive down there.
You drive past. There's like it's Key Bob, it's Key Sally, Key Largo.
Key,
yep, Pine Key. Lone Pine Key.
Key Largo.
Pine.
Rusty
Pine.
Key. There are all these keys, right? And then
swapping keys.
And also, there must have been another road to get there at some point because at certain points along the trip, you see these roads,
super
this bridge
secret.
Next to you.
Super secret.
No, there's like this rusty bridge next to you
with
sections missing.
Yeah, that's Rusty Key.
Like, right. Like
No. I'm being totally serious. Did you not see that James Bond film that was filmed in Florida and they shot the bridge? They like blew up. That was that bridge. They blew it up. The movie people came in, they blew up the bridge, and then they fucking left town.
Well, So that was really fun, though. I really enjoyed it. We took a catamaran out snorkeling. Now, I will say it wasn't quite like the snorkeling you see in Hawaii and stuff. There weren't as many colorful fish. They took us to a really deep spot because they don't want you to touch the coral because it's live.
Mm-hmm.
And but I had a really good.
But you Mark did was, anyway?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you don't
I
just, touch the fucking coral.
I didn't
you
touch
kill
the
it.
Coral. Didn't touch it. We ate at a really nice tapas restaurant there. We went to a couple of beaches.
Oh my God, how was the tapas restaurant?
Tapas.
Oh, tapas. Oh, that's different.
And we went to a couple of beaches there. There was a wedding going on. It was nice. So that was really fun. One other thing that we did, we ate at I don't know if you've ever heard of Scott Conant.
No.
He is a chef. He is a judge on Chopped, and he has a restaurant called Scarpetta. That's an Italian restaurant.
I would assume it's a very good restaurant.
We ate. And anyway, it was overall very nice trip. I'm not going to give every detail of everything we did, but we basically did beachy stuff and restaurants in Miami.
I feel like you don't want to tell your trip because you think you're going to bore people. We bored people an hour ago.
No,
you don't remember people left the chat room after 5 minutes of the show. It's like we've already bored people.
But there's no need for me to get into every single detail. Those were the only other thing is, oh my God, no, I have to mention this. We wanted to go to some nudie strip bars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we went to this one twice called the Floppy Rooster. And it was actually
it's the floppy cock.
Yeah.
Basically.
The first night, it was a very good experience. Like, there were a lot of really hot guys dancing. They were very friendly, yada, 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 all that kind of stuff. The second night we went, they weren't even getting completely naked because I guess they weren't getting enough tips.
Yeah.
So this was a full nude because I only go to full nude strip clubs.
Fuck you. I'm not taking this off unless you give me more money.
They weren't even taking their, but we're like, you know what? We're going to drive an hour away to go to Swingin' Richards because we had been to Swingin' Richards in Atlanta and it was fantastic.
Could there be more euphemisms for these Swingin' Richards, Floppy Rooster? It's.
So we one night really late, like I think it was the night that we came back from Key West or something. It was like really late and we're like, we were like falling asleep in the car. We're like, we're going to drive to wherever it was, Pompano Beach. It was some
there
beach.
There is a Pompano Beach there.
It was, but I don't know. It was like 45 minutes, an hour away from Miami Beach. And we're going to drive all the way because we want to go to Swingin' Richards because that has to be better than Floppy Rooster.
Yeah, well, it's got to be. Yeah, Swingin' Richards has got to be better than Floppy Rooster.
Let me tell you, Daniel.
Roy, what are you going to tell me?
We drove over an hour to get there. We pull up to that bad boy. Big sign on the gate that's closed and locked that says closed for remodeling. There is nothing on the website.
Oh.
If you call their phone number, they don't mention it.
Look at you.
Like, nothing. So we went 2 hours, and that's when we ended up going back to the Floppy.
No, wait. Mittens was on board with this?
Yeah, he likes
He likes the nudie clubs. Strip clubs?
Uh-huh. He does.
Are there any nude strip clubs in Vegas?
No, I don't think so. Not nude. And they all cater to women. All the ones that have... I don't know of any gay nude strip clubs in Vegas, but he enjoys them, as do I. Anyway, that's it. So but overall, the trip was really fun. We had a really good time, and... snorkeling was great. Monday, you know, the spa was really nice. The food was good. Overall, I would say really good trip.
The garage.
So that's what we did. Maybe there are, but I haven't heard of any.
I don't know. I'm clicking on. I went to the Google search for gay nude strip club.
I really, if I could make money, I would literally want to be like a gay strip club, like, you know, like a restaurant review person, but instead be like a strip club review person.
Yeah,
I don't think I could really make money at it.
I don't think you can make money at that.
But yeah. So that's it. That was our trip.
That was so weird. This phone rang and we weren't talking. Anyway, let's see what's happening here.
Hello, this is David Edwards, and I'm calling in for the celebrity death phone. I'm whispering because Mr. Brain James is asleep in the other room.
Oh my God, is he dead?
Famous for being Robin Colfort, Nicholas Nickleby, and some character on the West Wing, has died at age 71.
Have you ever heard of this person? Ever?
Yeah, he's he played the ambassador, the British ambassador on West Wing, the really flamboyant, like he was a really popular character.
Oh, I see him.
West Wing.
I see him here. I see him. Yes, I've Googled him now. Great. He was in, more importantly, he was in Robin Hood, Men in Tights. go ahead and give him credit for that.
What was his name again?
Roger Rees.
Roger Rees. Okay.
No, his name is David the Blue Jeans guy. Did you get that part?
No, I know who it was. Yeah.
Great. According to the chat room, there's going to be a full nude strip club in the Good Humor Penguins room in Vegas. Oh. So if you wanted to go to the full nude strip club.
I'm sure there's also one of those in Gary and Albuquerque's room.
Gary and Albuquerque's room, probably. And Turnipad's room, maybe.
Anyway, that's all the talking points I have for this evening.
Big Fatty's room, but probably not the kind of nude that you would not the kind of nude that you would want to see. All right. Hold on a second. First of all, welcome Tim in Alaska, who just joined us in the chat room. But Good Humor Penguins is very funny. I can't talk. Good Humor Penguins is very funny. Daniel, look up one line, Good Humor Penguin. Auntie Vera Charles made that comment.
We don't do a show. We just repeat what the chat room says for an hour.
Come up with an original thought in my life. I'm like the Joey Boohecker of podcasting. Anyway, I just amused myself with that line. Anyway, Adam, I wanted to talk to you. Princess, will you stop it? She is curled up on my desk, and where my mouse is where her tail is. And so she keeps slapping her tail on, like she's pissed off. Like her, you know, she's doing that really angry tail swipe at me that I dare put my hand where my mouse is. Will you stop it? Now she's clicking the mouse.
Oh, my. Going away. Oh, there you go. There you go. Going away.
All right, great. Adam, I need you to do me a favor.
Okay.
I need you to just name your favorite song that's maybe 3 minutes or less in length.
My favorite song is...
Or just a fun song. Something that I can go pee because I'm about to burst. And I'm just... in this way, I know where to cut out in the thing because I can see the music piece there. So we're gonna take a musical break for 3 minutes so I can...
I'll play a song. You just go.
All right, great. Great.
I'll play a song.
All right, great. I didn't mean to flash my ass at you there. I don't know if you saw that or not. I've lost about 10 pounds. It's like these shorts, like just I ran out of the room and they like fell down. So it's like because I haven't bought new shorts yet. So.
All right.
Thank you so much. It's really going to be confusing to the people listening to the recording because I'm just going to cut out the music. So what was it, by the way, that you played?
It was Bang Bang.
Bang Bang by Frankie Grande.
It's Jessie J, Ariana Grande, and Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj.
Wow.
So did you have another story or were we going to move into...
I wanted to talk about, you know, you went to Miami for July 4th. By the way, did you watch fireworks? Yes. Did you watch?
Oh, yeah. We watched. That was less impressive because I thought we would be able to see really good fireworks just right from the beach in front of our hotel. And because I didn't think of the beach being that big.
Yeah, you know, it is. Long. It is called the Atlantic Ocean. It is quite large.
No. But all of the fireworks shows, one of them happened at the very northy end of the beach.
Yep.
And one of them happened at the very south tip of the beach.
Yep.
And there are buildings.
I know.
So it ended up that we saw fireworks and a lot of people were doing their own fireworks, yep. like just on the beach. But it would have been better had we been close to either the south end or the north end. But because of timing, we didn't really have time to get to those places.
So I was going to go to Boston for their fireworks. Long story short, I didn't. I stayed home. I didn't do anything for July 4th. And here's the thing. I think I was spoiled as a kid by Disney because I grew up near Disney. And
right. And they do fireworks every night except Disney, when Mark and I are there.
Yeah, Disney does amazing fireworks, especially for July 4th. In fact,
they're like, Mark and we see Mark and Adam. We cannot
cut it. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
There, let's do this instead. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Irish singer, crooner, and legend, Val Dune, dead at 88. Bye.
No.
So sorry.
Somebody I've never heard of in my life. It's
It sounded like he was going to say the maraschino cherry guy, and I was just like, oh, they may have something there, but he was trying to say crooner.
Val Dunican.
Didn't he play Batman? Didn't he right after?
No, that was Val Kilmer.
Oh, that was Val Kilmer. All right, great. The news.
All right.
See, I thought for sure that you had the hound in the technology segment because you sent me the invite code, and I thought maybe you'd played with it. Maybe you had something to say about it. I don't know. I don't know these things, but you didn't. You just took it. Now you made me look...
No, I didn't. I don't even know who put that in there, but it was from the last show that we did. I just didn't.
Well, I wouldn't put it in there because I didn't talk about the hound.
A sculpture in Georgia, larger than a football field, depicting Civil War luminaries Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Thomas Stonewall Jackson, has become the latest target in the push to purge the South of signs of the Confederacy. The Atlanta chapter of NAACP called Monday for the elimination of all symbols of the Confederacy from Stone Mountain Park, whose marquee attraction is the 90-foot-high, 190-foot-wide sculpture carved deep into the mountain. These guys need to go, chapter leader Richard Rose told the news station, referring to Davis, the former president of the Confederate States of America, and the two Confederate generals. They can be sandblasted off, or somebody could carefully remove a slab of that and auction it off to the highest bidders. Someone else said, he said, my tax dollars should not be used to commemorate slavery. In addition to the removal of the Confederate symbols from Stone Mountain Park, located outside of Atlanta, the group says it also wants all symbols removed from state-owned buildings, parks, and lands. So, yes. You always say I pick news stories that you have nothing to say about.
Yes.
So, at the risk of sounding racist,
yes,
because I'm going to say this, I feel like, in this instance, mm-hmm. that these are symbols of history, mm-hmm. and although I think it is fine for them to remove the Confederate flag from government buildings and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. I feel like it's going a bit far to say they should sandblast any image of any Confederate general or anyone off of these monuments. These are like huge monuments that probably cost who knows how much money to do and how many hours of labor. And it's part of our history, right?
Yes.
Whether it's a good or a bad part of our history— you know, museums have things.
But Adam, this isn't a museum.
It is kind of. No. I mean, it's a park, literally with historical things, historical monuments in it. Mm-hmm. That's basically the gist of the park, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So you think that they should sandblast any image of Confederate anything off of? You agree with that statement?
Is it on public lands? Is it on public lands that are paid for by tax dollars? Because if it's on private property, Adam, then, you know, this is a completely different discussion, right? If it's on private property, then there's, you know, I may find it distasteful and I may think that it's like something that people should avoid or like should maybe condemn. However, it's on private lands and people are free to be racist assholes if they want to be, because this is a great country and we're free to be that.
Okay. I, you know how ignorant maybe I am, and I'm just a Southern hick, and I'm racist.
Hold on. You do this all the time, and there's actually a term for this. I know I don't like to talk about it, but I do have a degree in psychology. There's actually a term for this where you're actually trying to like, it's like white-splaining almost here. You're trying to almost denigrate yourself in the same sense. It's fine to be ignorant of these things, and you don't need to be ashamed of the fact that you're ignorant of these things. It's like, fine. So in other words, you're saying, so what is it that you were going to say? Take away the derogatory remarks of like, oh, maybe I'm just a motherfucker. Maybe I'm just a mass murderer. Take away all those things, which, by the way, Adam, just in case you were curious, this was the entire concept that the political movement, the political correctness movement, was created so that we can actually talk about things in a productive manner without having politically charged things inside of them. By the way, it's a very good thing. So you don't need to like say, oh, maybe I'm just maybe I'm just a butt fucker or whatever. You don't need to qualify that. Just ask your question.
No, there's no question. I think it's bullshit. These are historical figures. They exist in our history, and this country is built on freedom, and the Confederacy was not just about slavery. I'm sorry.
No, you're correct.
It was not.
The Confederacy was about seceding from the United States. The Confederacy was about treason. The Confederacy was about, hey, we don't agree with what the United States government is going, so we no longer want to be a part of it. We are going to actively fight against them and cost the taxpayers of the United States. We were actually going to commit treason against our own country and like create a civil war between the states.
So because of that, we're supposed to get rid of any mention.
Yes, absolutely.
Unless
it's in the context of a museum.
Why don't we go into all of our history books and just erase all those pages as well? Why don't we just not teach anybody that ever existed?
Because that's hold on. That is a completely different thing. Teaching people about things.
No,
Adam. A state park with a monument is not teaching people about things. Having things written in a textbook and learning about our history and things, that you're absolutely correct in the fact that they do belong in a museum or in a historical context, in some kind of learning
Stone Mountain
in some kind of learning
museum.
Right, but Stone Mountain, which what Stone Mountain are you talking? You don't need to turn the Stone Mountain into a museum. By the way, you're acting like sandblasting is like some massive thing that can't be accomplished. By the way, those figures didn't just show up on the mountain organically. They were sandblasted into the mountain to start with. So it's not like this is some insurmountable task. It's like this is what was done to the mountain to begin with. It's not a natural formation.
That's like saying I don't like the opinions of one of the presidents, so let's go and just bomb Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Because however, Adam, they were U.S. presidents. The Confederacy was an enemy combatant against the United States. There's no other way to look at this. The Confederacy was a secession from the United States and declared themselves to be an enemy of the United States. So it's like, if you want to carry this to the logical extreme that I've seen like other people do, then fine, let's carry it to the logical extreme. Should we have like a mount? Should we have a monument in South Dakota that has like a, you know, Al-Qaeda carved into it? They're an enemy of the United States. They secede.
It's a free country. If they
but
want,
but I should mean, your tax dollars pay for that is the question here. It's not about whether these things should exist or not, Adam. It's whether or not our tax dollars should pay to support these things.
I just think, you know, there were good people who lived in the South and had an opinion.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you want to read.
Whether or not.
Yes.
You know, they were pro-slavery or not. I just feel like we're saying that we're taking one issue, which is slavery. Which is what people are taking.
Which is what the Confederacy was about, yes.
Anything, that is not the only thing that the
Confederacy absolutely it is.
About.
It is the only thing the Confederacy is about. And here's the thing that most people overlook, Adam, is yes, you're right. There were a lot of good people in the South. There was a lot of good free slaves in the South that left and fought in the Union War, in the Union Army for that thing. There were people that left the South to go and fight with the Union, right? What you're talking about when you say Confederacy is not the South. The Confederacy is a small segment of the South that decided that they were going to secede from the United States. It is not all Southerners. And in no point at time did I ever say that all Southerners were racist or all Southerners were bad. As a matter of fact, the majority of Southerners were against slavery to begin with. It was a very small minority of Southerners that benefited from slavery. So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you cannot conflate the two. It's like when you say that the Confederacy is the South, that's bullshit. The Confederacy was a small minority of the South. It's one of those things. It's like the Confederacy was basically the Westboro Baptist Church of the South. Even Southerners disagreed with what they were doing. It was like wealthy plantation owners that were making millions of dollars off of slave labor that were basically like driving the conversation as to like this was something they're doing. And you only need to look at the historical data of the number of Southerners that left the South to go and fight with the Union against the Confederate Army to actually see that it wasn't something that was all about the South. So to make the Confederacy, conflate Confederate pride with Southern pride is a complete misnomer. It's like my parents are Southern. And they're not racist at all. They were against the Confederacy if they had been around at that time. I'm just saying.
We'll disagree to disagree. And again, everyone in the chat room agrees with you. Probably every one of our listeners agrees with you. But I do not think that we need to erase our history. And I don't care what taxpayers are paying for it. I do not think that we need to go and erase our history to appease people who are uncomfortable about something.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
If I went to Washington, D.C. and I went to the Smithsonian, I wouldn't even say the Smithsonian because that's a museum and we can almost like argue that that would be somewhere. Let's say that I went to a section of, historic Williamsburg or something like that in whatnot. And that it was publicly funded in some way. I just burped. I'm so sorry. And it was publicly funded. Would it be okay for there still to be colored water fountains and white water fountains and colored restrooms and white restrooms at the time? In other words, here's a section of like New York City where they just didn't remove. No, it wasn't New York. Let's say here's a section of Atlanta where they didn't remove the colored restrooms and the colored water fountains. They just kept them all there. It's like, oh, well, you know, that's our history. That's just our history to have these colored restrooms and these colored water fountains.
Well, not if you were actively telling people that you have, if you're black, you have to use the colored one. And if you're white, you have to use the white one.
Okay, no. No commentary whatsoever. They're just there. They're just there. Colored restrooms white restrooms.
Obviously, that would be incorrect, but I don't see the correlation between the two.
Because that's basically when you're keeping Confederate monuments up, Confederacy, remember, Adam, the Confederate Army actively was at war with the United States. When you're keeping up monuments to the Confederacy.
This is a park that is surrounded by mountains and trees. You can't even see it unless you choose to drive into the park and pay a fee to get in.
Okay. So if it was a private park, then I'm all for it. But it's not. It's a publicly funded park.
You can't even see it unless you try to. It's like people saying, oh, I'm offended by this thing that is in displayed, you know, where I can see it. You just don't go into the, I mean, if it's in a museum, you could say the same thing. I can't see it unless I physically walk into the museum, right, but it's there.
You have to understand that, right? The context of a museum is without, so you expect to see things in a museum that are things that are without, without prejudice, not without prejudice, but without some kind of slant to it. In other words, this is something that happened. This is a piece of history that happened. It may be good, it may be bad, but this is, you expect to see those things in a museum. If you're taking your family out to a state park to have a nice picnic, let's say that you're a Black family and you live near this park and you want to go have your daughter's birthday at one of the pavilions there, and it's right underneath a big huge monument to a dude that led the secession of the United, actively was at war with the United. How would you like to have your daughter's birthday party underneath a carved in piece of a monument with Osama bin Laden on it?
I'm gonna go out a limb here and probably talk about something I know nothing about, but I'm pretty sure that most of the people from our history who helped found this great nation that we live in were responsible for and helped with the shitty treatment that the Native Americans received. Okay?
Yes.
So we should have no monuments of any person in the government from that time anywhere, because the Native Americans could go and see that and be offended that there are monuments to people who basically put them in pieces of land, almost like concentration camps, mm-hmm. shrunk them down into little whatever, mm-hmm. you know. And that's other people who we have these monuments for, I guarantee you.
Okay.
I guarantee
you. Adam, there's the...
So if you... My point is, if you start erasing monuments of every single person who has done something that was wrong and who might offend somebody, then we need to not have any monuments for anyone.
Okay.
Not a single person.
There is a phrase, I'm sure you've heard it before, history is written by the victor, or whatnot. This is the United States at this point in time, right? It is run by the United States government.
It doesn't make it right.
No, you're absolutely right.
So,
it does
so
not,
we're going to argue.
No. This is completely wrong. The Confederacy lost, right? It's like they were treasonous against the United States. They were at war with the United States and they lost.
Well, apparently so did the Native Americans.
So then why are you, I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that the Native Americans are not the prevailing government of the United States. They do not, they're not running this country, right? It's like,
saying that it is historical. It is, they're historical monuments.
But they're not.
And what makes them not, and other monuments that we have, historical? How is there a difference?
Okay. I'll tell exactly how this makes it a difference. Let's say that I wanted to declare the Stonewall Inn in New York City to be a historical monument, which, by the way, was something that just happened. That is because it is a physical place. It is something historically important happened in this place. This is this is a place where something historical happened, right? The modern gay rights movement kicked off at this place at a particular point in time, and now this entire building, which exists largely today as it did then, is a historical.
And I love how Joe Batanz makes it seem like I'm stupid and just saying that I don't get it, and he can just laugh it off.
You're taking the different. He's not
because
saying,
I have a differing opinion than he.
No,
does.
He was talking about the when you were talking about the Native Americans with them not being the prevalent form of government. You're not keeping track with. He said that 5 minutes ago during another piece of your speech, not during what you're saying right now.
Because anyone who has different opinions than all the liberal people who have these views are stupid and don't know what they're talking
about.
Didn't
say that at all, Adam. Didn't say that at all.
Well, that anyway, we're going to agree to disagree.
I'm not done with my statement. This is what makes a historical monument, is that something historical happened there. If I want to talk about Antietam Creek, which is where some battles of the Civil War happened, that is like a historical monument because things happened there or whatever. What you were talking about is a piece of art that was created to commemorate something, which is not in and of itself a historical monument. It's not a historical monument. It's a piece of art, right? And it's like, and if that art is offensive to the majority of the people, then why are public funds supporting it? I guess is my question. It's not a historical thing. It's a side of a mountain. It's not a historical thing. It's not like Civil War soldiers went up there and carved this thing and like did that in a piece of history or whatever. This is some art project that was, you know, commemorating something that didn't necessarily happen at that spot. It's just a big, large, it's not a historical monument. It's just a piece of art.
To me, it's a beautiful piece of art. It's very well done. And I think it would be a tragedy to have it erased. It's just a, Anyway, it doesn't matter. Am I conservative? I am more conservative than anybody else probably in Pride 48.
I wish you understood this, Adam. I really wish you understood this, because you think, like a lot of Christians think, that when people disagree with you, that you are somehow being persecuted. I love you, Adam. I love you. You're like my best friend. I love you. And I don't care that you have different opinions from me.
I'm not mad at you.
I love you.
And it's like when people in the chat room laugh at me for having a certain opinion.
Again, Joe Batance wrote that 5 minutes ago when you were saying something else. The chat room is not real time. You were looking at it. You don't know what he was replying to. I saw it when he typed that. It was not when
you
just...
And I love all of you.
But I'm just saying, Adam, it's like, it's okay to disagree. This is how we grow as people, is by like having honest disagreements about things. But I agree with the NAACP in this case. I think that these things should be scrubbed from public lands.
Regardless, no one
in this chat room, and none of us were alive during this time. And let me just say, this was a horrific fucking time to be an African American in the United States. This was a horrific fucking time. It was like we were so, it was like the only other group of people that we even came close to being as like unfair and horrible to was maybe Japanese Americans during World War II, right? When we like put them in internment camps for their own fucking safety or whatever bullshit we made up. It's like, as a country, we have done some pretty horrific things against broad races of people. Like just, and it's like, it's time for us to basically grow the fuck up and acknowledge the fact that, you know what? That was really fucking wrong for us to do that. And maybe we should stop celebrating it. Maybe we should stop like putting this on display and saying, it's like when people say that this is a part of our heritage. Yeah, it's a part of our racist heritage. When people say, oh no, this is just history. Yeah, it's part of our racist fucking history. It's like the Civil War was about racism, period.
But again, my point is that you could say that about just about any monument we have in these here United States. There was something that person did or something that government did that was, you know, that offends somebody.
But there's the difference. It's not about offending, Adam. It's not about someone was offended.
Persecuted someone.
These are two completely different things. Being persecuted and being offended are two very different things.
But I think my point about the Native Americans was valid.
You are correct, but
they
at the
were
time,
mistreated.
But you're absolutely correct. We treated the American Indians horribly.
We have monuments to some of those men that were directly responsible for treating the Native Americans the way that they were treated all over the place.
Directly responsible, but not solely responsible, and therein lies the difference.
I don't see a difference.
Adam, you have to see this difference. If nothing else, you have to see this difference. George Washington, may have been, responsible for mistreating the American Indian population, right? May have been guilty of that, but he did other things. Jefferson Davis was the head of a secessionist army whose only notable contribution to the world was being the head of a treasonous secessionist army. He did nothing else. It's not like we're putting up a monument to Hitler because he created the Volkswagen, which is an entirely different thing than, oh, by the way, Hitler committed genocide in another country. It's like Jefferson Davis gave no other contribution to the universe other than being the head of a racist fucking secessionist treasonist army.
I lost my train of thought. I still think, and I'm not a historian, but I still think that being treasonous, there's nothing wrong with that. If they thought at the time that they did not believe the same things that the rest of the United States believed, I mean, we fought many wars over land and we wanted to, obtain land from, there are states right now that some of them think that they should not be part of the United States, but we don't say, and I understand the racial issue. But again, I will say there are other groups of people who have been persecuted and, we celebrate the people that were responsible for those things and other monuments. And we do it because it's part of our history. And that's what I believe. And whether I'm wrong or not, maybe I am, but that's what I believe. So there you go.
Are we going to talk about fat lesbians now?
No, but I am. I'm not going to talk about fat lesbians, but I am. There was a study wanting to know why lesbians are so fat. but why 8 out of 9?
Oh my God! Is this like Vero Speaks for real? Suddenly we're going to like make fun of lesbians? We're above that.
No, that's an actual news story. That is an actual news study. There
you know,
was
Vera Charles hates lesbians. Hates all lesbians.
There was some study about why 8 out of 9 lesbians are overweight. But we're going to end not with that story, but with one quick little palate cleanser here. So when the secretary of a members-only bar in Britain opened up one day to find the premises trashed, he wasn't expecting the culprit to be a squirrel, let alone a drunk one. Sam Bolter, 62, the secretary of the Honeybourne Railway Club in Worcester, England, he told the BBC that he found the bar covered in beer and smashed glasses and beer bottles when he opened up Sunday evening. After making the discovery, he said he saw a squirrel staggering around coming out from behind a box of potato chips.
Squirrel got drunk off potato chips?
I think...
Was it an Irish squirrel?
Who knows? He says there were bottles scattered around, money scattered around, and he had obviously run across the bar's pumps and managed to turn on the Chaffrey's tap. I don't know if that's beer or what.
I have no idea what that
is. He says he must have flung himself on the handle and drank some as he was staggering around all over the place and moving a bit slowly. I've never seen a drunk squirrel before. He was sozzled and looked a bit worse for wear, shall we say. He told the Daily Mail that he and two customers spent about an hour chasing around the squirrel, trying to get him out of the bar, and eventually caught the rodent in a trash can and let him go out the window. Anyway.
The thing is like here, I have a balcony that overlooks. So where I live is on the second floor, and it's surrounded by the woods. And so I go out and sit on the balcony when it's nice weather outside, and my cats want to get out there. And I had to stop letting them out there because there's a bird feeder on the side of the building right underneath me that a squirrel has gotten to. And I swear to God, Adam, this squirrel is the size of a Great Dane. It's like Sasquatch walking out of the woods. It is the fattest, biggest squirrel that I've ever seen. And my young cat, Princess, has decided that she has a vendetta against it. She like wants to get down there to like take on this squirrel. Yeah. Who literally could eat her in one bite. And it's like, so maybe that was
probably would.
Maybe that's the Irish squirrel that like is left maybe there.
And that's the news.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Alarm.
Happy birthday to you.
Alarm.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Is the DI Plus birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will give me musical cues to some celebrity birthday, and I, using only my head brain and mouth words, will figure out who it is without cheating and looking at the chat room for the answer, unless, of course, I get stuck, in which case I will totally fucking cheat. Adam, what is our first musical cue this week for the birthdays?
Well, I know this is very unusual, but I hadn't pulled up the links.
Because you were so angry with me during the Confederate flag. I saw that little vein in your neck was popping out, and let me just say that
one of the reasons I'm not political is I hate arguing. Like I hate even you know, not the bad kind of arguing, but like the, you know, whatever people call it, like debate, you know, like I hate it. And the thing that I hate about it so much is that people on each side act like they are absolutely positive that the other person is wrong. Like there could be absolutely no way that that person's opinion could be valid. That is how people debate. They don't give any hint of any kind of there could be a little bit of truth in what that other person is saying. So to me, it's just like you're basically bad-mouthing each other for the length of time that you're having the argument. So I hate, that's
contentious. It is very contentious in the area of racism because we are a very racist fucking people. It's like we are such a racist fucking country that, you know, and it pains me when we say these things and you take the white-splaining view of it, like, whoa, clearly as a white person who must be racist because I'm white. It's like, Yeah, you're right. You are racist. I'm racist. Almost every person that I know is racist, and the only remedy to that is to fight it every day. Is to literally think about the things that you're doing. One of the saddest stories that I ever heard while you're looking for your stories here. While you're looking for your musical cues. One of the saddest stories I ever heard was when Joe Batanz was talking about how his mother, when they were going to a I forget what it was, some big mansion or something that they were going to, like the governor's mansion or something that they were going to go to. And she felt like she didn't deserve to be there because it had been so ingrained in her that as a Mexican-American that she was less than someone else, that she was not allowed to be there. And that is something you always have to keep in mind. It's like, as a white person in this country, you have the fucking universe open to you. You are given the default of being believed, right? As a white male, the default is we're going to believe what you say. And it's like, when you think about women in the workplace and minorities in the workplace and stuff like that, people in meetings will look at me for an answer when there's a woman sitting next to me that is more qualified to answer the question. And I try as hard as I can to always turn and defer to that person and go, I think Carol would have the better answer to this. Because it is just such the default that, oh, you're the white male in the room. I should look to you for the answer. And I cannot count the number of times in my professional career that I have said the exact same words that a female has said. And yet people take it. You know, they will accept what I say, although they questioned it when the woman said it. And it's just like, it's one of those things that is like, we are a very racist, sexist country. And the only way that we're going to get past this is to be cognizant and to fight it, and period. And that is all there is to it. That is my belief.
Right. But that is one of the reasons that I don't bring up stories that we could actually have discussions on, because I hate any kind of debate. Don't enjoy it.
I think that, I hope that we have some phone calls on it. On either side. I think it's a good thing, Adam. I think it's a good thing.
And I think it's because I feel like most of you, and it's probably not true, but I feel like most of you probably think I'm just a stupid, hick from South Arkansas who my opinions don't really count and are meaningless and dumb. So, I've probably felt that way most of my life about gayness as well. Because I'm a Christian and gay, a lot of gay people just dismiss me as,
No, but you know what? I do know that during our... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
And when you walk into church and you're gay, the Christians dismiss you because you're gay. So I've dealt with it all my life, being this kind of this oxymoron, so to speak,
Views. I don't get that. I know if you listen back to our last show, which was during the live Pride 48 weekend, and you were talking about, being Christian and gay and whatever. And I said oh my God, or something like that. And I never got to clarify on that because it was a condensed live, a condensed show on a live weekend, and we only had a certain amount of time. But yeah, to me, it's like white Christians are the worst. White Christians are the worst because you guys always think that if we disagree with you, that you're being persecuted. You are the first people, not you specifically, but white Christians are the first fucking people to jump on Facebook and talk about we're being persecuted because, people don't like it. And it's you know what? We disagree with you. You're not being persecuted. You want to talk about persecution? Go talk to Native Americans. Go talk to Black people. Go talk to Mexican Americans. Go talk to any other minority group. Women. Go talk to any other.
I've never been on Facebook and said I was being persecuted.
No, but I'm just saying it's so hard to be a white Christian. Oh, my heart bleeds for you. That is so hard to be. Yeah, only 43 of the last 44 presidents were white Christians. Oh, horrible you. Only 99.8% of the Senate over the past 200 years have been white Christian males. Oh, horrible you. Yeah, it's anyway. Sorry, go ahead.
All right, here we go. First birthday. I have a couple of songs, so on this one.
Oh my God, is it Jefferson Davis?
Come on, let's go and play.
No. This is from Frozen.
Come out the door, it's like you've gone away.
And
yep, that's from Frozen.
It's Frozen, and the woman that sings this. Oh, I love her. In her, she's a little blonde girl. Oh, she's so cute.
I'll play. I don't know if you know this one, but here's another one. It's a theme song to a TV show.
Yes, yes, she was on a theme. She was on a TV show. Yeah. Oh, I cannot think of her name. Yeah, I cannot think of her name.
And they recently made a movie. And then here's another show that she was on for one season, but not a main character.
Is it Kristen? Parks and Recreation. She was on Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
Oh, what's her name? Oh, what was her name? She was so good too.
Frozen.
I know. Oh, Veronica Mars. What's her name? Oh, Kristen. Is it Kristen?
It is Kristen.
It's Kristen. Why can't I think of her last name? Do I get half credit for it? Kristen?
Sure, I'll give you half credit. It's Kristen Bell.
Bell! Oh, Bell! Kristen, yes. Yeah. All right, great, 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 great. I
Kristen Bell is 35 years old.
Oh, she's all right. So cute. I love her.
We're gonna, yeah, she did that. You know, it's so, I know it's possible to do this, but it just amazed me because she did the little girl voice.
I've seen the YouTube video of her like singing it live.
And the woman voice. Yep. Like, anyway. Yeah,
with, like, Robbie Benson did the Beast voice with no effects or whatever. She did the little girl voice with no effects. Yeah.
And singing at the same time. Seems like that would be difficult. We're going to go way back into the Wayback Machine.
Oh.
I've never even heard of this show before.
Is it Mr. Peabody?
It's not. But okay. But maybe you have because you're older than me.
Oh my God, is it Airport?
It is not.
Okay, I'm just kidding. That's a joke.
McMillan and Wife.
Is it McMillan and Wife?
No.
That would be so fucking random if it was. Oh my God, this sounds like a 70s drama or something, like a 70s crime drama. Is this canon?
It's not. Marcus Welby, MD.
Oh, Marcus Welby, MD. That was my parents' generation, not even me.
All right, and here's the next show that this person is in.
Marcus Welby Jr.? Isn't this the same theme song, just better?
No.
Better audio?
This is not the same. And this theme song is by Henry Mancini.
McMillan and Wife.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. This is very melodic.
This show is Hotel.
Hotel. The chat room is saying Robert Young. Is it Robert Young?
It is not. So this person was in both Marcus Welby, MD, and Hotel.
I guess Vera is off cooking because Vera's not chiming in.
This person is James Brolin.
Oh wow, yeah, James Brolin. You should have, you know, most modern folks may know him as he's Thanos in the Thor movies.
Okay. Well, would you know the Thor theme song?
No.
Well, there you go. Anyway, James Brolin is 75 years old. Okay, here's our next one. Here we go.
This is, of course, Suicide is Painless, the theme to MASH.
It is. And this is the movie.
This is the movie.
MASH movie.
So I cannot say Alan Alda because Alan Alda was not in the movie.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming you're correct. Yes, they had the same theme song.
Yes. Oh, well, of course. Right. Yeah.
Here is the next thing this person is in.
Okay. This isn't The Incredible Hulk, is it?
No.
No.
It's a bird. It's a sound a bird would make. It's a movie.
A mockingbird?
Yes. A mockingbird.
To kill a mockingbird?
It is not.
No. Joe Batan says, caw! The movie.
A recent movie that is all about a mockingbird.
The Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games.
Is it Donald Sutherland?
It is Donald Sutherland.
It is Donald Sutherland. I completely stole that from Joe Batanz in the chat room.
Donald Sutherland was in the MASH movie as, one of those guys.
Yeah.
And
I believe he was.
And he's the bad guy in Hunger Games. All right, here's the next one. Two songs on this one as well. Anything? 80s.
I know it's very 80s like movie. It's
Beautiful People.
Melrose Place?
It's not.
No. I don't know.
But let me play one other song before I tell you, because as soon as you know, you'll know who it is, and I really want to play this other song, so.
Oh my God, this is the theme to Knight Rider.
It is.
Yeah. So the first one, the first one must have been Baywatch, and that make this drunk guy, David Hasselhoff.
It is David Hasselhoff, yes. I used to love Knight Rider. I know I've said that a million times, but I
loved
it.
I remember Knight Rider. I remember when the new season came out, and at the time, they didn't have the internet. So in order to find out what Kit's new powers were for that next season, you called a 800 number, and then Kit would speak to you on the phone. I was like, and this season, I will have laser-powered seatbelts. And, you know, it's like, it was so cool.
David Hasselhoff is who played Michael Knight. Is 63.
Yes.
All right. Well, I love that song. I love that theme song. It's probably one of my favorite theme songs. Yeah, okay.
This is like a techno of this. This is like a remake song or something.
No, it's a cartoon.
I know, but it's
from the early 90s. I'm not sure if it's a remake. I think this is just the theme of this show.
I know this song, but I don't know it in this.
Is okay, it, Minion 51 has it correct in the
chat.
It's
the X-Men? Oh, so maybe I'm familiar with the theme from the movies. So
yeah, that's the X-Men, yeah, X-Men theme song from the 92 cartoon X-Men. Right.
Oh, is now, it a voice person, actor from the X-Men?
No,
is it Vera Charles? No, because Viral Charles actually played the voice of Charles Xavier in the X-Men cartoon. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I did not know that. Are you no shitting me? Or like is that
completely no honest things. Honest engine. No shit. Yeah,
cool.
I would use
Cerebro to find who it is.
He would say lines like that.
I will use Cerebro to go in now and to find the person that I'm looking for.
So this person was not in the cartoon, but this person has been in X-Men, but I knew that none of the movie themes I would have recognized as X-Men.
Okay,
so
yeah,
that's why I chose
the cartoon. I'm ready.
All right.
Patrick Stewart.
Yes.
See, that is the theme to Star Trek Next Generation. But I'm just, it's Patrick Stewart in the X-Men movie. And he was by the way, he played Professor X in the movies, whereas Vera Charles did the voice of Professor X in the X-Men cartoons.
It's not Auntie Vera's birthday, as far as I know, at least not.
Her birthday is in, I think, no September?
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages.
These are the voyages. Of the Starship Enterprise.
So do you object to the fact that Patrick Stewart said where no one has gone before and as opposed to no man has gone before?
No, they changed it because they
Should they have kept it the same? Should they have kept it the same for history?
No, they didn't go back and erase the other shows though and change it in the original series.
So are you with It's All About Me here that they should have kept the Dukes of Hazzard on the air because it had a Confederate flag, it shouldn't have been taken off the air?
I totally would agree with that. Yeah.
I disagree with that.
Anyway, Patrick Stewart is 75 years old, and we have one more birthday. So here we go. And it is not a composer because this composer did happen to compose both of these. So it is not.
It is not the composer. So it's not John Williams.
It is not John Williams.
This is the theme to Star Wars.
It is. Okay.
Wars.
So
now it is Star Wars. And it
and
is
here's
Star
our next
Wars.
One.
It has Darth Vader. This could have been any John Williams. Oh, this is Indiana Jones. All right. So Indiana Jones.
Yes.
It has Harrison Ford. And he flies a plane. And he crashes on a golf course. But he makes it out to the hospital. I'm sorry.
It is Harrison Ford.
He's of course he is Indiana Jones and he is Han Solo. Of course it is Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is 73 years old.
73 years old.
Those are our birthdays.
You know what, Adam? We do have a few other birthdays that we need to get to.
And notice I did not have any Confederate members on the birthday list.
You know what? Don't be that guy. We would like to say we would like to say a very happy birthday to Charles S. On Pride 48. And that's we only talk about birthdays that have happened. So there you go. Charles S. Happy birthday, Charles S. I don't know why on
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. We got more coming up, but that is the one that we have right there. I can't think of another person from Pride 48 that has had a birthday, other than maybe Joe Batanz, who I sent a birthday present to. But I don't know. Did you send a birthday present to Joe Batanz?
No.
Aww.
He won't give me his address. I was going to give him a gift for being so lovely in LA, and he refuses to give me an address.
You know what, Adam? I just went to his Amazon wish list and just like bought it right off there, and they shipped it right to him. I didn't need his address or anything. I don't know.
Yeah, but you know his real name. I only know his stage name.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Adam? You know? I found his wish list by looking up Joseph Batance. It's excellent. All right, great.
Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you.
Excellent. We do love a good contact song, and we do have some voicemails that we will be playing this evening. We have no emails.
Wah, wah.
No one sends us emails.
I did check. I didn't see any unless you got some that didn't go to me.
I don't think I did. By the way, if you ever send anything to me, don't send it to Adam. He's much more organized than I am.
Well, no, they do. They just should do contact at dubiousintent.com. But let's get to
our first voicemail, Adam, okay. Shall we? It comes in from my car. Let's listen to it right now.
Hi, this is Joe in Dallas calling the death phone to make the announcement that if this weekend Wesley Pythagoras Stone came and visited and went with you to the Eagle,
yes.
Well, we're going to have to call the death of Wesley Pythagoras Stone's innocence.
Really? He would die?
May it rest in peace.
He would die?
And may it not have been left. Sad and limp and draped across a pool table somewhere.
I don't think Wes had any innocence before he came to see you.
He did not, and I'll tell you this, because I didn't talk about my trip to New York with Dr. Wesley Pythagoras. No, we did not. We did not go to any sleazy gay place whatsoever. The gay places that we went to were Flaming Saddle, a saloon, which was fun. We went to Uncle Charlie's to sing show tunes with the piano player there. And then we went to Metropolis over in Brooklyn on Sunday night. And so, yeah, we didn't go to any of the sleazy gay bars. We didn't go to the Cock. We didn't go to the Eagle. Didn't do any of that.
No Floppy Rooster?
No, we didn't go to Floppy Rooster. We didn't go to Limp Wiener. We didn't go to, I don't know, what were the other ones that you had there?
Oh, that was Swingin' Richards.
Yeah, Swingin' Richards and stuff like that. No, we didn't go to any of those places. Excellent. Thank you, Joe and Dallas, for that call. I wish you would come to Vegas. Wait, is Joe and Dallas come to Vegas this year?
I don't have the list. So
I do. I'm pulling up the list right now. Let me see.
I may have access to a list, but
Yeah, you do. As a volunteer of Pride 48, because I refuse to use the word suits ever again. As a volunteer of Pride 48, you, of course, have access to the shared drive here, which has a thing. Joe and Dallas. Let's see. Joe and Dallas. Are you coming, Joe and Dallas? I don't see him on the list. Joe and Dallas, I wish you were coming to Vegas. I want to meet you before we go on our permanent hiatus. Before we take that big hiatus in the sky.
Whatever. Oh.
Anyway, all right, let's get to our next voicemail then, shall we?
Thank you for calling Joe and Dallas.
I said that. I started it off by saying thank you for calling Joe and Dallas.
I'm just going to say one more time.
Yes.
Wes is not and was never innocent. There you go.
Great. All right, let's get to our next phone call here. I believe it comes in from Kathy Bacon.
Hey, Adam Bacon. I just wanted to let you know that we had to take Oreo to have her teeth cleaned, and they had to extract a couple teeth, and thankfully not the top one. So you really have to know the teeth are gone to see that they're gone. But anyway, $325. So
oh my god,
brush your puppy dog's teeth every day, every other day, or whatever. And they say that the dogs really only need to have the teeth. Maybe you know all this. once a week or whatever.
Wait.
And then I have a question. Listening to RuPaul, I think I must be missing Daniel because otherwise, Daniel and Donna, because otherwise I'm not quite sure why I'm listening to this side every
day. Well, hold on. Before I continue her phone call, did she just say express your dog's teeth every day?
Brush.
Oh, thank God. Because I was just express it? Like you do their anal gland or whatever? You push
actually,
little...
you're supposed to do that as well. Do you know that if a dog scoots on the floor on his ass, that means his anal glands need to be expressed?
Sadly, I do know that, actually.
But, Kathy Baker, I have people for that. No, honestly, we should, but she is so. It is.
I have exclusive audio of you expressing Sydney's anal glands. Would you like to hear it?
Sure. No. That is not. No, I've never expressed her anal glands, actually.
I have exclusive audio of Kathy Bacon expressing Oreo's anal glands. Would you like to hear that?
Sure.
All right, great. Let's continue with her phone.
Can we
continue with her phone call now? Yeah. All right, here we go.
Watch the show. I tried to watch it, but then I kind of what did I do? I got off track.
When Kennedy didn't get it eliminated,
that's where I was watching season one or whatever season it was. But anyway, the one with what's his name? Scissors? Am I crazy? Anyway, whatever. But I have a question, and this is a personal question to Daniel that probably heard him talk about, and you don't have to answer it here or whatever, but I'm just wondering, do you drag? Do you like drag? I guess I'm just curious because I don't know what Joe does. Don't care, but I know, Donna does the drag or whatever.
Yeah, Donna does the drag.
Anyway, that's it. And hey, I'm headed to Rapid City for the 4th of July. So if there's
Rapid City.
Anything you want me to do out there for you, Adam, just let me know. Or if there was something that you wanted that you didn't get, I'd be more than happy to pick it up for you. And if you don't think of it before July 3rd, I'm going out there August 1st for Sturgis too. So, all right.
You know what? There's trouble.
Yeah, can you just sandblast Mount Rushmore while you're out there?
There's trouble right here in Rapid City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for penis. What was I gonna? No, I have. All right, here's the thing, and I'm gonna let you behind the curtain here. I love drag. I absolutely love drag. Some of my best friends are drag queens. Growing up, like when I would go and do things, when I worked as a bartender in Florida and everything, I was like friends with all the drag queens there, and we would go to like all the theme parks together and stuff like that. I love drag. Actually, my adopted gay daughter, Veronica Mann, here in Connecticut, is a drag queen. I absolutely love drag. I, however, do not make a pretty woman in any way, shape, or form. No, there's no if, ands, or was. And if you look at drag queens, like really good drag queens, they're really cute guys. So it stands to reason that I would not make a pretty drag queen because I am not a cute guy. But I do not make a pretty woman, so no, I do not.
And the beard kind of makes it difficult.
It does, although I could do a Waylon thing where I could do bearded drag. But I am not a pretty woman. I do not do drag well. I wish I did because I think I would make an amazing drag queen. If I just looked prettier, I would be an amazing drag queen. But I do not look pretty. I do not look good in drag. I look like a man in makeup. I do not look like a good drag queen. So there you go.
Me too. I had a drag queen make me up one time. It was not pretty.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Those are our phone calls that we had this week, Adam. We appreciate each and every one of them. We especially appreciate Kathy Bacon and Joe and Dallas who called us. We really do appreciate those things that they do. So there we go. Are we done? Can I play us out of the contact? Contact. Oh, wait. Oh shit. Oh, goddamn. My finger hit that thing. All right, here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, wow. You know what, Adam? I don't know if it shows or not, but I've been drinking during this.
It does. Yes. I think everyone's aware. Anytime we have a 2-hour show, you've probably.
You know what? I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
Coat.
I give. I. You know what? Fuck you, Scott. the Seder 69 with making this whole hour long thing. I love, you know what? I have gotten more positive. I don't read this on the air, but I've gotten more positive email from people that are like, oh, I like the longer shows. I really wish I liked the longer
shows. I like long shows. I'm just saying.
I do. I mean, but people are saying I like the longer show. I know that the chat room hates it because they don't want to be here the entire time. And that's fine. We understand. You don't have to stay here. That's fine. But I'm saying people like the longer shows and I like doing the longer shows. So fuck you. I don't know who I said. Wait, who was I saying fuck you to?
Scott.
Fuck you, Seder 69.
Randomly, you're just fucking Scott for no apparent reason.
I think he's a top, though. I don't think he... fuck me, Scott Seder 69, whatever. I don't know what that is. I don't know. I don't know.
Is that a euphemism for power bottom?
Oh, shit. CI Plus is written, recorded. CI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. You keep looking at your phone. Are you on like Grindr or something? Is like somebody messaging?
I was texting Mark to let him know he could eat without me.
Under Creative Commons, give us a call on the voicemail line 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587, or send us an email contact@dubiousintent.com.
No, the way I talk to my boyfie while we're recording is
by texting.
Text,
you just text him while you're doing that.
I'm going to yell at him like with the mic live and everything.
Doing it live. Hey, we're doing it live. I don't know what it is. All right, great. Stick around if you're in the live audience right now. Stick around for the after show with Auntie Vera Charles and Joe Batance. I'm sure it'll be fun while we edit the show and post it. Otherwise, I think we're taking 3 weeks off, but we'll be back soon. Yep. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.